Comedy live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who has a hidden immunity idol in his coffee cup today. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, talking about episode number 3 of Survivor Island of the Idols. And we've got a really great show today because Ron Clark from The Edge of Extinction, world famous Ron Clark, is going to be our guest here on the podcast. Very excited to catch up with Ron and hear what he has to say about everything going on. I had the exit interview in the podcast feed earlier today. At the recording time of this podcast, I have not done that yet, doing things a little bit out of order, but posting them in the order that they should go, where the exit interview is going to be up with Vince on Thursday, and then we will have our feedback show coming up on Friday with Lyrsa. Hope you guys get some feedback questions in. Looking forward to hearing what Lyrsa has to say.
Excuse me?
That's right. Coming up on Friday. All right. So before we get into everything, and you want to make sure you subscribe to the podcast to make sure you don't miss a thing, I want to take a moment and thank today's sponsor for the podcast. Those are our friends over at ButcherBox.com. ButcherBox is great because if you're somebody who is a meat lover, it can be tough to get quality cuts of meat. Not everybody has convenient access to high quality meats, 100% grass-fed, finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork, wild-caught salmon. You can't just get this stuff at every grocery store, and luckily there's ButcherBox, because ButcherBox believes everyone deserves high-quality, humanely sourced meat, and they've got an incredible offer right now. We don't normally have this kind of an offer on the podcast. If you go to butcherbox.com/RHAP, use the promo code RHAP at checkout, you will get ground beef for life, for the life of your subscription to ButcherBox. You will get 2 pounds of ground beef with every order, plus $20 off. I don't think we've ever had an offer like that on the podcast. That's an incredible deal. Each month, ButcherBox is going to send you approximately 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 meals, which is perfect if you have a large family or if you do a lot of meal prep. You have it in the freezer and you know it's there anytime you want it. It's a no-brainer. It's the best meat shipped right to your door. They sent me a butcher box to try out. We opened it up when Taryn was here. Taryn got into the bacon. I've got a bunch of these. I've got pork chops in my freezer, which are the biggest pork chops I've ever seen in my life. You're going to love it. If you are a person who loves making all sorts of meals with meat, you're going to love what Butcher Box has to offer. Forget who said anything about boring chicken. That chicken is going to be exciting now. It's the most affordable and convenient way to get healthy, humanely raised meat with ButcherBox. You get the highest quality meat for about $6 a meal. They've got free shipping nationwide except to Alaska and Hawaii. Right now, ButcherBox is offering our new members ground beef for life. That's 2 pounds of ground beef in every box for the life of their subscription, plus $20 off the first box. This would be like the best survivor reward that they've ever had. Go to butcherbox.com/RHAP and enter promo code RHAP at checkout. That's butcherbox.com/RHAP or enter promo code RHAP at checkout. All right, everybody, I'm very excited to bring our guest in today to talk about everything that's going on the Island of the Idols. Of course, you know him from Survivor fans, know him from Survivor, The Edge of Extinction, but teachers around the world know him from the Essential 55 Rules. Please welcome the world famous Ron Clark. Ron, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. I'm so excited to be here to talk with you today. I appreciate it, Rob.
Ron, I just want to let you know, I am so appreciative of you making some time to talk about Survivor, because I know in the scheme of things that you have so many things going on, it really means a lot that you spend some time talking about this little part of the world.
No, Survivor is a big, huge part of my life. Like, I digest it. I love it. I analyze it. And so, yeah, teach is important, and that's primarily who I am. But Survivor is also such a big part of who Ron is. So I'm happy to be part of this, and I'm happy to get to talk with you today.
Ron, what's going on over at the Ron Clark Academy these days?
Things are awesome. Taught my fifth graders this morning. They're really confused about radicals, just trying to help them understand that. Teaching eighth grade history. But also, we've got a big construction project going on. Our school's doubling in size. And so there's dust everywhere, bulldozers, walls going up all around us. And so it's exciting. We're building a state-of-the-art facility that's going to be unlike no other. And I'm lots of great things and great energy happening.
So when your fifth graders are confused about radicals, like radical, like the particles, or like radicals, like troublemakers?
No, like if I'm talking about the square root of 36 or the square root of 49, like the square root of 49 is 7.
Yes.
But what we're doing right now is they're having to estimate. If I said, what would the square root of 82 be? They would say, okay, well, it would probably be something like 9.07.
Yeah.
But we also do talk about radicals in history. And also I teach a political science class for the whole school where we talk about lots of radicals and politicians and all the things going on in the world. And that's a lot of fun, too.
So we do have radicals on Survivor also, those people that are the ones who don't really fit into any of the main alliances that are going on. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. And this season, I'm like, what is going on? So when they did casting, it's like they've got so many different types of people and personalities that they put together. And even just like reading the bios and learning about them before the show, I said, how are these people going to mesh together? And then to see that their personalities really don't mesh, which is kind of a beautiful thing to see. And so to look like Lero, they've resulted back to the old standard of, oh, let's make an all female tribe. We don't really see a lot of commonalities between us, so let's just go all gender based. And so because they really are just a lot of different people, and it's great to see them.
Well, I'd love to get your take on the decision that they made last night to ultimately send Vince home from the tribe. Did you think that that was the right decision for the women to make?
Yeah, I think so, because in the back of their mind, I'm sure they're thinking, okay, we're probably going to do a tribe swap pretty soon. I may end up getting stuck on a tribe if you're one of the females with Tom and Aaron and Dean, and I don't want them to be upset with me because I've backstabbed them. So I think it's probably just best to make Vince the safe bet. Also, I think the person who was really calling the shots, I think it ended up being Elizabeth. Elizabeth's also been to Rob and Sandra on the Island of Idols, and so she kind of knows that Vince may have an idol. And so I think she probably thought that it was to her benefit to have him gone, because he's the only other one there with her that knows exactly what happens there. And so I think she made the ultimate call.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think of it from that perspective, that she wants to try to keep the secret of the Island of the Idols just with her.
Yeah, perhaps. And also she's knowing that she went there. She was unsuccessful getting an idol. She's probably thinking Vince may have been successful, and they didn't really show that they had a dialogue when he returned, but I'm sure they did. And I think it's pretty obvious that production has probably told them, when you return, you can't tell that Rob and Sandra are here, because they're trying to get that big bang for the buck. Like everyone who walks up the beach, turns the corner, they're trying to get the excitement on their face. And so they told them not to tell anyone, but it makes it really icky and complicated when you've got two or three or four people who've been there and they know, everyone else doesn't know. So production is kind of inserting their arm into the dynamics of the tribe, which complicates things.
What do you think that those conversations must have been like for Vince and Elizabeth once Vince came back to the beach?
I think they probably went to the watering hole, and I think they're probably like, oh my goodness, Robin, Sandra, oh my goodness. And then I'm sure she said, what did you have to do to win an idol? And so we didn't get to see what he told her, but I guarantee you Elizabeth probably grabbed him and said, did you get an idol or not? And he may have lied or he may not have lied, but we'll never know exactly what happened there. I'm looking forward to hearing your interview with him to kind of get his take on what happened.
Yeah, and this is a weird Thursday where I haven't had the chance to talk to the survivors. Although in your season, I didn't get a chance to talk to any of you until the season was over. But normally I have those first thing in the morning, but this happens to be a week where I'm doing it later on in the day. So I'm actually talking to you first. So hopefully by the time that this podcast is posted, we end up having a little some more answers from Vince.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So when Vince came back and when he compared notes with Elizabeth, it must have been awkward because if they're both not showing all of their cards to each other. They both had such radically different experiences, to use that word again, where Elizabeth had to go head to head with Boston Rob in this fire making challenge. And then Vince had to go on this crazy mission to go and get fire or ultimately ash from the other tribe. So I really wonder what they disclosed to each other.
I don't know, but I'm sure Elizabeth probably stuck with her story by saying, Vince, yeah, here, I had to make fire. I couldn't do it. I didn't get an idol. But in the back of her head, she may be wondering, Vince may not believe me. He may think I did come back with an idol, and he's the only one who has that information on me that I could have an idol. He might be putting my name out there. If he's thinking perhaps she's got this idol, she could play it. So it was it was in her benefit to get him out of there. That's why I kept looking last night to see her facial expressions, everything she was saying, because I thought she would probably be concerned that he would be back in the fold, knowing that having that information.
Yeah. I think you make a good point about Elizabeth, because I think that she might be carrying a lot of weight in this group, because we saw Missy was in these conversations.
Yeah, it's not Missy. I thought Missy's got the power here. But then as I watched last night and I saw some of the things that she said, then I saw some things Elizabeth said, I'm like, no, I think it really is Elizabeth. I think Elizabeth is the one that kind of has control of the alliance. She's looking really strong for me right now.
Yeah, because Missy was going to talk about going ahead and voting Tom out. And then basically we saw Elizabeth say, no, I don't want to do that. We can't get rid of Dad.
Right. And then she got what she wanted. And so that's very telling, because when someone who has the power says, I think we should get this person out, others will kind of go in that direction. And no one went in Missy's direction. So I thought it was telling.
So in terms of how Vince played this early going in the season, so I was actually pretty blindsided last night. I didn't think that he was going to be the one to go home. But then the more I thought about it today, like, I do feel like that it ended up making some more sense, because I think that Vince didn't do a great job of making either the men or the women feel like that he was a loyal part of their group.
Yeah. And when Aaron and the guys were talking to him and they were saying, you know, hey, these women, they're making this alliance. Hey, would you be comfortable working with us? I think Steven pointed out to you earlier on the earlier podcast where he wouldn't look him in the eyes. He was looking to the left and the right. And if anybody who's going to be on Survivor in the future, when you ask someone a question and they don't answer and look you straight in the eyes, that's a telltale sign. And so he kept glancing away. And so I thought they probably didn't have a lot of confidence in him. And then the ladies, they could have said, hey, let's work together and keep Vince. But also they're trying to keep in mind, there's a tribe swap coming. We need to be as strong as possible. We really don't want to upset Tom and Aaron and Dean. This is just the easy vote.
Do you think that it could have been different for Vince if he played the middle less, as opposed to that, okay, I'm going to talk to the guys, but I'm also secretly I'm working with the women? If he would have just come out and then just gone off on the men, made it abundantly clear that the women were his, you know, plan A, plan B, plan C, as opposed to being somebody who was seen as a potential radical that could have gone either way?
I don't know. I think I don't think it would have helped. I mean, because I think basically the guys could tell he's saying to them, sure, yeah, I'll work with you guys. But then they see him with the girls and hanging out with them and talking. And I think he was letting the ladies know, hey, I'm with y'all. I'm 100% down with y'all. Trust me. And so I think he did all he could in that situation. I just think it was his time to go, because he had unfortunately gone to the Island of the Idols, come back, and they were worried that he may have something.
Because I think that one of the problems for Vince, and there was a secret scene this morning that I got a chance to watch where that he had an interaction with Missy, and Missy felt like that, you know, Vince is kind of being shady, and that they saw Missy talking with Chelsea and they said, okay, well, I think he's with us, but it's just greedy to have him as a six. Let's just, you know, throw him out because he's this person who is in the middle right now. And it was like a simple vote that both of the sides of the tribe could have agreed on to make it be Vince.
Right. And I can see that. But also, they're probably trying to keep in their head that when this merge comes, all of these different personalities. I mean, who knows? It's going to be great TV, but who knows what's going to happen? And I think Missy's just trying to say, why don't we try and keep this group as strong as possible? We can either vote out Tom and then upset Aaron or Dean, or we can try and vote out Vince and therefore keep Dean, Tom, and Aaron as close to us as possible going into a potential some type of a swap or merge. So I think that was the mindset. And also, you know, I think Vince, you know, when you get an idol, people always say you never tell anybody. But when you go to an island of the idols and they know you might have one, I think it's always best to come back. And like I did when I found the advantage, I went to Eric and I told him, I was like, look, I found something. This is for us. We can use this together. You kind of want to let somebody know, because if he had, let's say, told Elizabeth, I know you've been to the island of idols. I want you to know I found one. We can use this in this alliance we have. Let's use this together. Perhaps if he had told her that, she would have been thinking, he's got it. He trusts me enough to tell me. He said we might could use it together if we need it. Maybe I'll be an advocate for him that he shouldn't go home. And so maybe he should have played it a little bit differently. If I were him, I'd have played my idol that night. Mm-hmm. I think the thing with the water bottle would have been great. He should have just played it and said, just want to let you guys know, I did find one. I'm going to play it now. So it's out in the open and it's over. And by doing that, he would have saved himself.
So do you tell everybody before tribal council, or do you only tell your closest, most trusted allies?
You know, I would tell my most trusted, closest allies, but I wouldn't tell them I found it. I would say I found it for us. We can use this. If anybody feels like we need to play it tonight on somebody, let me know. I'll give it to whomever we feel like needs it tonight. It's only good for two tribals. And at that time, it's worth more to try to use it to build trust than actually use it to save yourself if you can really get the trust and the alliance to work together.
Do you like these advantages and idols, the much like your advantage that you found in your season? Do you like these things that have an expiration date?
Oh, watching it on TV, it's kind of makes it more interesting. But I'm not really a great fan of I would say less idols, less advantages. Watching it, I just love the strategic gameplay. Mm-hmm. I love the relationship part, and I don't know. I don't really have a feeling one way or another. When I realized that mine would only be good for three votes, I was not happy about it. And so I'm sure they're not happy about it either. But what I love is that when you go, if you say you don't want to take the risk to Rob, Rob will up the ante. Oh, what if we make it good for the next three votes or next four votes? I thought that was kind of appealing. If he said that to me, I would probably go, I'm still not convinced. Can we go for five votes? I would have tried to haggle with him, and I think he probably would extend it. But I think that's an interesting element as well.
Yeah, it would have been interesting to see what would have happened if Vince didn't jump in and say that he would do it right away, if they would have made the mission easier, or if they would have let the idol be effective for more tribal councils.
They would have said more tribal councils. I don't think they would have made it easier. But I'm just so fascinated by this whole thing of him. Oh, man, if I'd gotten the opportunity to go to the other's tribe and sneak there, man, I'd have been all about it. I'd have been trying to get information. I'd have tried to see who is sleeping beside each other, because that tells you everything. If you're ever on Survivor, people, where people sleep, that tells you the true allegiance. If they're sleeping together, they're beside each other, and they're in a little huddle in a corner by the fire, wherever they go, that's the alliance. And so I would have been looking around. I would have probably tried to, instead of taking fire, if there were no fire, I'd have said, okay, I'm going to take their pots. I'm going to take their flint. I would have tried to take something back that would have been a little bit more exciting. But
yeah,
that was interesting. And then, like you were talking with Steven, I wonder what would have happened if people had woken up and seen, oh my goodness, what are you doing in our tribe? And could he have potentially gotten everybody up and said, hey, everybody, just want to let you know, I'm Vince. I'm from the other tribe. I'm here. No one else knows I'm here. And I wanted to give y'all some dirt on what's going on at Laro. I mean, could he have done that? Or did they tell him you can't interact with people?
Yeah.
I don't know about the whole thing was fascinating. I love that part.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And then what if he could have, you know, woken them up and said, hey, you know, I need to get some fire. That was my mission. Can you help me out with this? Like, could he have recruited anybody to help him with get the fire back going? Yeah, it's fascinating to know exactly, you know, where the guardrails are in terms of what he was able to do. But that would have been hilarious to see you sneaking into Lesu and then going in and stealing their fire and waking them up and doing all sorts of pranks on them.
Then they would have blamed it on Wendy again. But
You could have let the chickens out.
Yes, I would have done it. That would have been so fun. Yeah, but I thought the whole thing, the whole dynamic, I just thought it was great.
Ron, when you talked about how you can tell where all the alliances are by where the people are sleeping in the game, was that something that you used at Comma, or was that something that you used after the merge?
It was something that I noticed quickly. I'd heard it before, so it's not something I came up with, but I just tried to pay attention to it. And then at Comma, you could kind of see, I woke up one night and I'm sitting there. Julia and I slept beside each other every night. So it was Julia, then it's Julie, and then Eric, and we're all together. And then I looked over and Aubrey and Joe and Aurora were at the far end. And then the other six of us, we were all huddled together. I'm like, wow, this is really true. And then, you know, as the nights go on, you notice the different dynamics. People go to sleep by the fire, people who sleep in different huddles. And what's funny is the night before I was voted out, I woke up and I was completely by myself under the shelter. No one was sleeping beside me. And I was like, wow, this is the first time this has happened. And it crossed my mind. I wish I had given it more credence, but I didn't. But it's really telling.
So could you use that to your advantage in any way? Is there a way to, like, if you think you're on the outs, like, should Vince go and sleep next to, you know, the people that he perceives to be the people that are calling the shots? Or could you, you know, throw people off of, like, okay, this person is my closest ally, so I'm going to go sleep next to somebody else?
Potentially. It's also helpful because, let's say, for example, you're a Karishma, and let's say you, Karishma knows everyone's going to vote her out. When she goes to sleep, if she goes to sleep first, no one's going to go lie beside her, because if you do, other people are going to notice that. And then you don't want to lie beside her because she's probably going to turn over to you and whisper, hey, what are you thinking for the vote? Da, 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 da. No one wants to have to get in that conversation with her because they're going to have to lie to her. So people will avoid her. And so as someone who's in the game, it just kind of, it lets you know. But if you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm on the outs, no one's sleeping beside me, it's really important for you to get yourself up and go plant yourself somewhere different. If you're asleep and you wake up and no one's around you, but people are talking around the fire, you better go join that conversation. Like Vince was telling Karishma, you got to fight. You're on the bottom. Come on, throw a name out there. Do something. Mm-hmm. And she was so defeatist, like, well, I'm too old. And I'm thinking, what? You're too old? Come on now. I mean, you're spring chicken. What are you talking about, too old? I'm too different. I hate that mopey, whiny attitude. I'm like, come on, pick yourself up. Go put yourself in the conversation. There's always more work to be done on Survivor, and nothing's ever a nail in the coffin. And you can always go and have a conversation with somebody, change their mind. Because people on Survivor now, like I said when I was on the show, they, once you get the taste of a blind side, you want more. You want to be shocking. Let's do something different. And so it may be you, but people are easily willing to listen to you say, hey, did you think about this? What about that? And they could change their mind in a moment. So just never give up.
Ron, could you talk a little bit about what you think that Karishma was going for at that tribal council last night, where she was getting up and walking around? And of course, you're no stranger to these types of shenanigans at the tribal council. You were there on the famous pilots and passengers and Julie jumping ship. So what do you think that Karishma was trying to say to the women that she was talking to?
I think it was just affirmation. From the looks on their faces, it wasn't like she was saying something new or she was presenting a different idea. I think she was probably saying something like, if you will please not vote for me, I'll be loyal to you forever. I promise you, I'm with you. I appreciate you. I want to be part of your team. Let's keep this all-female alliance. I think she was just going to each person, just reaffirming in their ear, I'm here, I'm down, I'm your vote, I'm loyal. She wasn't trying to say, hey, I have an idea, because if she had, then that would have caused much more commotion.
Right. It would have been more like that tribal council that you guys were at, where there were new ideas being presented. Okay, let me talk to my manager. Let me see what I can do. And then more people would have gotten up and had more side conversations.
Exactly.
But do you think that somebody in Karishma's position was that her being, you know, leaving no doubt that she was going to be the person to stay? Or do you think that put her in more danger by getting up and walking around at the tribal council?
If I were her, I wouldn't have done it because if I were her, I would have probably been thinking Vince may have an idol.
Yeah.
God, hope he doesn't play this idol tonight. And so by doing that, I think she probably could have put some fear in Vince. So as she was going from girl to girl to girl, I was thinking, oh, you should finish it off by going to Vince. If you go to all of the females and then go to Vince and whisper in his ear, we're still together, I think that would have made more sense to me. But the fact that she didn't go to him, I was like, oh, he's definitely going to play his idol now. He didn't. I can't wait till you find out why he didn't. But I think it was a risky move for her.
Ron, what do you think was going on with when Karishma cut her hand? Didn't that seem very odd that nobody seemed to be paying any attention to Karishma's injury?
Yeah, but you've got to be careful. Like when you're out there.
With a knife. And,
yeah. No, well, you've got to be careful with the knife, but you've also got to be careful with people because let's say, for example, Karishma's on the outs. Everyone's going to watch Karishma. They know she's going home. She's on the outs. Everyone's assuming that she's going to be fighting, that she's going to be pulling people to the side. Hey, let's do this. Please don't butt me out. And so everybody watches. Who does she talk to? Who does she go to the watering hole with? And you don't want to be the one she's walking to the watering hole with because everybody may say, uh-oh. Karishma's convinced this person to work with her. Maybe we vote that person out instead. And so I took it as that she was on the far outs. She's over there. She's cut her hand. It wasn't that bad. She was like, I can see my bone. But like just a little bit of blood was coming out. I thought it was a little dramatic. But if you're the one that's over there comforting her and she's the one that's on the far outs, it could put a target on your back. But honestly, if I'd been there, I would have gone over and I'd been like, oh my goodness, you okay? Are you okay? But then I probably would have left her to her own, because when I saw it wasn't really that bad. She's bending over, she's putting her hand down, which is something you don't do. You're supposed to elevate. So As I'm walking, I'm just like, I don't really know what's going on here. Honestly, I'm sure Karishma is a lovely person in real life. Survivor changes you. But I think Survivor Karishma would have annoyed me to no end on the island just because of her. Oh my goodness, I'm getting voted out. Don't know what to do. I've cut my hand, just that whiny type of attitude. Then at one point she says, oh, I wish people would just start playing Survivor. Dude, you're there. Play Survivor. You know, play the game. You're complaining no one else is playing Survivor. You're not playing Survivor. So I don't know. And unfortunately, I see someone like Karishma, if she doesn't change her gameplay, she could make it to the final three as a goat, but she'll get there and she won't win. She's got to kind of take charge, pull herself up, stop complaining, make some moves and be a little bit more bold.
Ron, this is so interesting what you're saying about Karishma with the injury, because I think you're right, where Survivor is such a mean game where that somebody could be hurt. And if a person is sort of like on the outs of the power structure of the tribe, that they don't get as much attention as somebody, if we say, Chelsea or Elizabeth or even Missy, that if one of them had the same injury, everybody would be, oh my God, are you okay?
Right. Every move you make, every second of the day. And before I went on Survivor, I had no idea it would be like this. But everything you say, everything you do, every conversation you have, every walk to the beach, every little subtle face you make, everyone's watching everything. And so you've got to be very careful that you don't give anyone in your alliance reason to think, uh-oh, maybe this person has an alliance with that person, or why is that person helping that person walk up the hill, or they're trying to gain favor. They want to get that person's votes. If that person's on the jury, they're trying to make sure, because everyone knows we're voting out Karishma. The only reason that person's being nice to Karishma is because they want Karishma's vote when she's on a jury. So it's those types of thoughts that will go through your head.
Yeah, really interesting. So the next vote, if this Lyra tribe ends up going to another tribal council, do you think that Karishma will be the person who goes home, or do you think that the women will keep her for a vote and then vote out one of the guys?
I think the ladies will stay together. I think Elizabeth and Missy, I feel like they'll pull together. I mean, Elaine, it's obvious that she wants to be with that all-female alliance, and I think they see their strength there, and I think they would probably vote out Tom next. If there isn't some type of a swap before it happens, I think he would be the next one to go. I think every season there are at least some females that say, hey, let's make an all-female alliance. Like on my season, I walked up on Aurora trying to convince Julie to do an all-female alliance. And so I think it happens a lot. But this group, they seem pretty intent on it and pretty happy about it. And they don't need the guys for anything. They're strong. They're powerful. They're athletic. They're smart. And so I don't think that they see that they need the men for anything. And so I think they're willing to vote them out if necessary to keep their alliance strong.
But I do think it's interesting where Karishma, who has not brought a lot to the table so far based on what we've seen in the in terms of the challenges or being a reliable number that the women feel good about. I mean, would there be harm in, okay, we know that the women are the top four of this alliance, but let's move forward with Aaron and Tom because they are, you know, we've, you know, kept them happy. And where are they going? Would that be okay? Or do they have to keep it just women for this thing to work?
I don't know. I think they might need to keep it just women. If I were one of them, I would probably be saying this, you know what, we're about to do some type of a swap, probably eventually it's going to be a merge. Who don't we want to see merge? Who would be most likely of everyone in this group to flip? And if I were them, I'd probably be thinking Aaron. Aaron's probably going to flip on us ever since the Ronnie vote. He hasn't been happy. He's probably going to go. He'll be more likely to align with maybe Jamal or a Jack from the other tribe. And so they might vote him out next. I see these ladies staying together. I don't see them trying to vote out one of their own, even though Karishma doesn't quite fit with them. As in Karishma's words, I think they'll stick together.
Ron, does it change things up based on if you're going to swap to two tribes or three tribes? Does that change the way that you're looking at your numbers?
Yeah, I think that's the reason why they voted out Vince, because knowing that they're about to probably swap to three tribes, if you keep Vince, that's one person you've made happy. If you vote Vince out, you've made Tom, Aaron, and Dean happy. So you've got more people in your group who feel like you're still strong together. So then when you go to a fight on three tribes, you have more likelihood of having people on that group with you who will still think they're on your team. And so I think that's probably why they voted out Vince, because it was just basic numbers. They could either have Vince or they could have three other people who still feel like we're in the fold.
Okay, so Ron, I have a voicemail for you on this subject of keeping the tribe strong for a potential swap or merge. This is from Chase.
Hi, Rob and Ron. Much of the post-swap and merge strategy in the late 30s have involved players attempting to keep original tribes together, including Ron in 38. A lot of these tribe strong seasons have also involved relatively straightforward pre-merges, where the tribes tend to vote out the most typical person to be voted out, plus or minus an Aubrey. This season seems different, where we are observing a lot of inter-tribe factions and major blindsides. So do you think the post-swap, the players are going to dance with the ones that brung them, or will we see a more dynamic and less tribe-divided group of players once things are switched up? Thanks. Bye.
Okay, Ron, first, do you agree with Chase's premise?
Yeah, I do agree. And I do agree. I mean, just when looking historically, recently, it seems like it's pretty much straightforward. You can always almost guess who's going home. It's the person who's the odd man out. It's the person who's the weakest. But I think it's a testament to the casting for this season. I think they did a great job because it's such a different mix of people and personalities, ethnicities. I mean, it's such a rich crop that it's not as obvious who's on the bottom. It's not as obvious who's going home. All three episodes so far this season, I was sitting there thinking, gosh, it could be three or four people, maybe five people. It could be a sixth person. Who is really going to go home? And so I think it's going to create an even better, more dynamic merge when they all come. It's just going to be mayhem. I mean, I don't see any groups automatically aligning together. It's going to have to take some time to kind of see where the dust settles. But I like it like this.
But I would disagree that we've seen so much in these last few seasons that it's always the tribes sticking together. I know that you were a proponent of that. You wanted to keep the Kama tribe together. In fact,
I love Kama.
You loved Kama, but that's not necessarily what happened in terms of, you know, how everybody else looked at it. And I feel like that, yeah, there was people on Ghost Island that wanted to keep things together. But I feel like we do see a lot of fluidity after the merge.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Case in point, Joe going home first.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we'll see. But I do think that these groups are definitely primed to be, you know, have a lot of crossover between the tribes when we get to that point. Let's talk about what's going on over at the other tribe, over on Vokai. A lot of people wanted us to talk about your impressions of Tommy, who was somebody who, in his pregame interview, talked about you as being one of his idols and somebody that was very exciting for him to see you on Survivor because that he, as a fourth grade teacher, that you were a very influential person on him. What do you make of Tommy so far?
Oh, I love Tommy. He's a great guy. It's obvious that he has kind of aligned with Janet. They seem like a really strong pair, which an unlikely pair, but they seem to really, really be working together, kind of like in the way that Julie and I did. I think he might want to be careful that people don't start to see them as too much of a pair, because then, you know, you're seen as a threat. You're like a couple. Like when Jamal said to Janet, "Hey, why don't we vote out?" We vote out Dan, and then she said, "Okay, well, I have to check with Tommy." It's almost like they're coming as a pair. But also, I like that Jamal was upset with Tommy when they voted out Molly.
Yes,
and I like that Tommy said, "You know, I realize I've got to mend this relationship," and so he went back to Jack. He went back to Jamal and tried to shore up things with them. And Jamal didn't seem like he was buying it. But I thought that the way Tommy handled it by going back to them, trying to mend the relationship, I thought it was good. I think Tommy's kind of flying under the radar right now. He's a nice guy. He's athletic. I don't see him as being a threat in anyone's eyes at the moment. So I think he has a good likelihood of having a really long shelf life in this game.
Ron, do you think that players are getting a little too aggressive in terms of wanting to make these big moves over on Vokai? You know, we saw that it could have been a pretty straightforward vote to take out either Nora or Jason at the first tribal council. They ended up going with the blind side to go after Molly. Then we see Dan talking about, okay, well, let's go. This would be pretty straightforward to go after Nora. Jamal wants to go after Dan. Then there's some talk of maybe we should go after Jamal. Do you think that they should just slow things down a little bit here? We're still in the single digit days of the game.
So it's like this. When you're on Survivor, you're playing the game, but in the back of your head, you're also thinking, wow, I don't want this to be a dud season. I don't want this to be boring. I want this to be exciting. I don't want to, you know, I don't want this to be dull. This is the obvious vote. Wow, this episode would be pretty bad. So I think that might play into people's minds a little bit. And also, when you're sitting there for 3 days on the island and you're bored to tears and there's nothing to do, it's like you start thinking, hey, what about this idea? What about that idea? So you start rolling things around in your head. And so sometimes people get bored and say, hey, why don't we spice it up? I'm a little worried for Jamal. Because when they said, hey, let's just do Nora, it's an easy vote. Jamal's saying like, hey, I want to go rogue. I want to have agency. I want my moves to be mine.
You're radical.
It's radical. I'm like, there you go. More radicals. I'm like, Jamal, I'm like, it's too early for this. You're trying to make your resume and it's day nine. You know, make your resume a little bit later. Play a little safe. Play under the radar. He goes up to Janet and he's like, Janet, why don't we put out Dan? Dan's this, Dan's that. Why don't we put out Dan? And because he's being radical, it led Janet to go to Tommy and say, hey, what about Jamal? Mm-hmm. And so even though he's the strongest, biggest threat on that game right, and on Vokai, they're already talking about maybe him. He got his name thrown out because he's being too radical. And so I like Jamal a lot, and I'm worried about him because of that. Like when you watch Survivor and you see these blind sides, you're like, wow, that was exciting. That was dynamic. You want to be part of that type of a moment. And it's led people to perhaps be more focused on how can I do a blind side than to what is the smartest, safest move for me at this moment.
Right. Like Jamal got a gift from the Survivor gods where that he was somebody who was aligned with Molly and the tribe went back and said, okay, let's get back on the plan. Let's go back to the original plan that you wanted to do, Jamal, of let's vote out Nora. And his response to let's vote out Nora should be absolutely. I guess not too dissimilar from way back when you were aligned with Eric. And Eric got voted out. And at that point, you said, hey, whatever you guys want to do, right?
You know, Rob, I got to tell you, when Eric was voted out, like, I still have a little PTSD of the whole experience. Like, I'll wake up and think it's raining on me. I wake up and think it's cold. I wake up and think I'm hungry, but I'm not hungry. So I'm still dealing with some of those things sometimes. Survivor will mess you up, as you know. But when Eric got voted out, I was so shocked and so devastated because Eric really is like salt of the earth, great, good guy. And to see him leave, and he was my best buddy, it hurt. And then to watch Jamal's face when Molly was voted out, I was like, dude, I've been there. I know what this feels like. I felt so sorry for him. But then when you get back to the tribe, you got to mend fences. You got to be like, sorry, everybody. Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do next? I'm here to work with y'all. Because if you don't, if you act like, well, you know what? I'm upset. You're just going to be a bigger threat. I'll never forget when I got back and I was so hurt and I went up to Rick Devins and I was like, Rick, did you know about this? Da, 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 da. And Rick looks me right in the face and goes, you don't want to burn this bridge, Ron. Don't burn this bridge. And instantly I calmed down because I was like, crap, I don't want to burn bridges. And I was like, you're right, buddy. You're right. It's okay. And you've got to kind of handle it a little bit more delicately. And then Jamal, he came back and he said, I'm the wild card now, or whatever he said to Tommy, which made Tommy's eyebrows raise. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's a difficult situation.
Yeah. So how do you think this is going to play out for Vokai if they end up going to a tribal council? Do you think it'll be Jamal?
The next vote, they could safely vote out Jamal because they're probably there. They know some kind of a merger or swap is going to come, so they wouldn't need his physical strength anymore. Also, you're kind of thinking, not only will we probably not need his physical strength anymore, I don't want to have to go up against his physical strength. And so I think it could be him that could go. I'm a little concerned about Kelly because Kelly came back and brilliant move. I don't know how she hid that idol in her hair. And it's like this, if it had poked out a little bit, her story would be blown. So it was brave. But she put on such a show, a dramatic show. I'll strip down. I'll show you. I don't have this idol. She's like so freaked out. Well, everyone's going to find out eventually she has an idol. And as soon as they find that out, they're going to realize, oh, she was lying back then on that beach when she cried so much. I think it's going to cause people to look at her a little bit differently. So I'm a little concerned about that for her.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you feel like that you shouldn't play that hard or lie that big in the early stages of the game because there's a strong risk that at some point you're going to get exposed and you should save your biggest lies for the end of the game.
Exactly. I mean, they're going to find out pretty soon, eventually, probably at some point she's got that idol and it's not going to look good for her. Now, if she just had the idol and said, oh, y'all, I did get an idol, it's one thing. But she was putting on a dramatic show of let me take all my clothes off and look everywhere and please search me. And you're trying a little bit too hard to lie to me.
Especially because she has to play it in, I forget if it was two or three tribal councils. She didn't play it then, or I mean, I guess that there's a good chance that she could just walk away from this whole experience and then never have to play it and doesn't need to expose it. But I'm just wondering after what happened to Vince, if there's wisdom in when you come back, just say, hey, I got an idol. I'm going to play it tonight no matter what.
Yeah, maybe so. But if you do come back and say, I'm playing this idol tonight, they're going to go ahead and say, okay, let's go ahead and put these five votes on this person to make sure he plays the idol. It's an uncomfortable situation to be in.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the Island of the Idols, and you are a perfect person to talk to because basically we have a theme for the Survivor season that's all about teachers. It's all about going to the Robin Sandra Academy and seeing what they can teach you. And so as Survivor's most famous teacher, what do you make of this twist? Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I like it. But I like learning about relationships, the interaction of people, the strategy. I love that. So anything that takes TV time away from that, mm-hmm. like An Edge of Extinction or going to an Island of an Idols, I'm kind of like, okay, I'll sit through this, but I'd really rather just get back to the focus of the conversations people are having. Like, for example, last night's show, a great majority of it was just Vince and just going to the island, doing his challenge, trying to get the fire. It was all about that. And then Vince goes home. And so I invested a lot of my night learning about Vince, but now he's not even really in play anymore. And so I think there's a danger in that. But how I just love Sandra and Rob so much, like just idolize them. And so anytime they're on TV, it's entertaining and they're hilarious and they're great teachers. Great teachers always, they're patient. They demonstrate. They do role play. And so they're doing all of the things that you want a great teacher to do. And I'm just jealous that I didn't get to walk up that beach and see those big idol heads and go interact with them. That'd have been so much fun.
What would have been your reaction to end up there with Rob and Sandra?
I'd have been much more dramatic. I'd have been like, oh my God, I'd have probably freaked out and ran up and hugged them. And it'd have been very exciting.
Yeah. So far, I feel like that with the lack of the reward challenge, I feel like that this has really helped it. Whereas in the Edge of Extinction, we had reward challenges. We went to three tribes. We had to go see what was going on at the Edge of Extinction. I think that something's got to give, that there's not enough airtime in one episode to do all of those things. So I feel like that this season has been a good compromise.
Right. And for people who love Survivor, I mean, I would sit there and watch it 4 hours if it were 4 hours long. I think we feel like we never get enough. And so that's just a testament to how good the show is, because we just want more.
Ron, can I go back and ask you an Edge of Extinction question with what you're talking about with where people are sleeping? Now, I remember from our interview after the season, and that was a great interview that you gave me when we talked about your game from the Edge of Extinction. You talked about how when you first got to the Edge of Extinction, everybody was sleeping around the fire and people wouldn't let you in, that there was, as a new person, you couldn't even get a spot by the fire and you were so cold. Do people sleep next to each other in the same way on the Edge of Extinction the way that they do in the game?
I don't think so, because Edge of Extinction, that was rough, man. I mean, it was it's purgatory. And so you have the one fire and everyone tries to get as close to it as possible. So you're just kind of all like huddled around. There's no shelter. So you really only have one place you can sleep around the fire. So everyone just kind of circles up and just crunches in as close as they can get. And then, like I said, like you mentioned, when you first get there, they don't let you in the circle and they're all tight. So you have to go out and you sleep away from the fire, where I was, and I was so cold and I was huddled. And then Julia was going, and I looked up and she motioned for me to come a little closer to her. And she gave me this little tiny piece of tarp to put over my legs. But yeah, it's rough stuff. But I didn't see the dynamic there. But make no bones about it, on Edge of Extinction, people were still playing the game. Those people were still thinking, oh, I'm getting back on that island. I'm going to be the one of all the people on this island that will go back in this game. And I'm trying to get jury votes and I'm still making relationships and I'm going to cook for people and I'm going to do all I can.
Ron, I have a question for you about all of the advantages from this season, the way that they're being handed out on the Island of the Idols. Here is our good friend Lyndall from Australia.
Hi, it's Lyndall from Australia. My question's for Ron, given that he has experience with advantages that are time limited. What do you think's on the notes that come with the idols that Rob and Sandra are giving away? Because they can't have standard idol rules written on them, but I don't think they can also say, you know, this is only good for two tribals in case there's a negotiation. And I don't think Rob's there with a little marker changing it. So do you think it's blank? And if not, do you think it's possible a lot of people are going to be passing these off as fake idols later in the game? Like, we could have up to 8 fake idols at some point.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Ron, this is a fascinating question. It's probably getting into a little bit of inside baseball in terms of how these things are going to work. But Lyndall brings up a great point. Okay, this idol is good for two tribal councils. Boston Rob is negotiating on the fly. Okay, now it's worth the 3. So does he have multiple notes? How is this working? And are people just going to, you know, have to go on the word of, oh no, Boston Rob said this was good for three tribal councils?
Well, I think her question is brilliant. I haven't even thought about it, because what she's saying is true. If all these people get these idols that expire, there's going to be lots of fake idols out there. That could be really fun to watch, I guess. But honestly, just from my opinion, I think probably what would happen if Rob said, okay, you could use it for 5 tribal councils, then I think what happens is that you're given the idol, and then somebody later from production will give you the piece of paper, or it would end up in your bag or something, the piece of paper that goes along with it. And then, like, I cut my information up so that it only read on it what I wanted to read, that it didn't expire. So I think, depending on how they write it on the sheet of paper, they may do it in such a way that the person would be able to cut off that part if they're thinking, oh, let's help them out a little bit by dividing the text up.
You don't think that Boston Rob and Sandra have a printer out there on the island behind the giant heads?
I don't think so.
Hey,
but
let me
just print out
a new paper for you. You gotta update that.
But yeah, I am very interested in seeing more of their camp, where they stay, what they've built. I know that they've said that they wanted to build some kind of a 3-story structure. So I'm interested to see if they ever, if they're going to be able to accomplish it. I think Rob could do anything he wanted to.
I think so, because they certainly have the time and they're bored. They have nothing else to do.
I mean, would you do that? Would you go back on Survivor if they told you you're going to sit on this island for 39 days and this is you're not going to have food. We'll give you some rice and you can get a tarp, but this is all you're going to have. Would you do it, Rob?
Yeah. I mean, what else do I have going on, Ron? I mean, why not? I mean, they can't vote me out. I'm there the whole time. I mean, that sounds great.
But you're 39 days. I mean, you're miserable. You're there with one person, just hanging out with one person for 39 days.
I guess it depends who the other person is.
I guess it does. What if it's Sandra?
I mean, that would be fun. I think Sandra's probably got some good stories.
All right, Rob, you could pick one past Survivor player that you would get to be on the island with for 39 days. Who is it?
And it's I can't pick you, Ron.
No, you cannot pick me.
Okay. I would have to say that I would love to have the experience to be with your friend and mine. How about Reem Daly?
Seriously? Wow.
I think you wouldn't just laugh for 39 days with Reem?
That is true. And I love Reem. And Reem, she lets you cuddle up with her. And she's very motherly. And she's funny. And she's a great conversationalist. I think that's a really good pick.
Yeah, I think so. Is there anybody, Ron, that you would not want to go there for 39 days with?
Oh, no. You asked me the harder question. That's much harder. Gosh, I don't know. I don't want to say somebody I wouldn't want to go.
All right, how about this? So I'll ask you the yes, no version. Are there people from Survivor Edge of Extinction that you would not be able to make it the 39 days with?
I would be able to make it the 39 days with anybody because I'm not a quitter. But I'll tell you this. There are some people I would not want to spend 39 days with.
Not ideally.
I think anybody would say that. But my pick would be Eric. I can hang out with Eric all day, every day. Eric's a great super guy. Mine would be Eric.
That was one of the big takeaways I had from talking. I think I talked to 7 or 8 of you guys from your season after, and we went through the whole thing. And everybody that I talked to, had really nice things to say about Eric.
He's just a super guy. And I don't know if y'all have like heard an interview with him before, or if you watched him on the show, you're not getting the full picture. He just as great as everyone says he is, he's that great and greater. He's like an awesome guy. I really hope he gets picked to play again because he's so deserving. He's a wonderful man.
I think part of the thing that really threw us off about Eric was, I think in the pregame, he talked about how sneaky he was going to be. And he talked about how he wanted to try to be like Tony. And based on what we ended up seeing on the show, that he ended up being really different. We had a really different expectation.
Yeah, his pre-interviews didn't come across well either. I remember watching him thinking, what in the world is he doing in these interviews? Why would he say this type of stuff? Because that's not who he was or who he is.
Okay. So let me ask you some of these questions that I have for you. And Jeff Pittman wants to know, Ron, if you were in charge of Rob and Sandra's school, what kind of lessons would the Ron Clark Survivor Academy teach? Would you include the giant heads more in the education process? A lot of people really wanted to know this in terms of your methodology. Well, what types of things would you want to see Rob and Sandra be teaching?
Yeah, I don't know about the heads part, but, I think I would,
let me ask you at the Ron Clark Academy, is there a giant Ron Clark head?
No, there's not.
Okay.
Not at all. But we do have really huge giant, I mean, really like 30-foot tall photos of our students
yes.
in our gym.
Yeah. So you make it about the students, right? I feel like that seems more like where that you would go to go teach from people that maybe that if they have, you know, giant statues of themselves there, then that maybe that seems more egotistical. Now, I know Rob and Sandra didn't do the set design, but I feel like, yeah, I think you've made the right choice that you shouldn't have like a you know, gigantic statue of yourself towering over the students.
Yeah, for reality TV, it works fine, but not for a real school. but I would say lessons that they should teach is learning from your mistakes. I think that's really important. Like Jamal, for example, when he came back, he said, "I will forgive them for blindsiding me, but I will not forget." I think it's important that he said he won't forget it because, like Gavin lied to Eric's face and then blindsided me, voted out Eric, and then I ended up trusting Gavin again. Then Gavin lied to me, did the same thing to me. So when somebody shows you who they are the first time, you know, believe it. Mm-hmm. And learn from your mistakes. I'd also like teach the importance of making eye contact when you're having a conversation. Like I mentioned earlier, Vince looking to the left when people are asking him, "Will you work with us?" So making eye contact, getting to know people like they already did in the last episode. Helping others, like whenever you see that somebody needs something, whether it's, for example, we got the a pillow off of the boat when we got marooned.
Yeah.
And so, are you laughing at me?
I love the way you say pillow.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, how do you say it?
I would say pillow.
Oh, okay. You put much more effort into it. We got this pillow. And so whenever people would go sit down, I would make sure that they had the pillow. Oh, sit on this. Da, da, da. Make sure that people bring them their cup of rice. Like when Karishma, when she's bleeding, make sure, are you okay? Like you want to make sure, like remember when Julie was hurt and she couldn't walk after the challenge, I picked her up. So I would also kind of teach empathy, taking care of each other, making sure everyone's okay. Because people have breakdowns on Survivor daily. It doesn't really show it all the time, but people have breakdowns. And if you're the person that consoles them and if they start to see you as a comfort, they're going to be less likely to vote you out because they're going to be thinking, oh, my God, if I break down tomorrow, who's going to console me? So I think that's an important lesson to learn as well.
So to go back to what you were saying about where Gavin, he voted out Eric and then you put your trust back in him. If somebody betrays your trust on Survivor, do you have to vote that person out immediately? Or are there any circumstances when you can reopen that relationship and work with them again?
That's an interesting question because Lloyd and I have had this exact same conversation and Lloyd is on the mindset if they ever blindside you or lie to you once, you got to get them out immediately.
Yeah.
They've got to be gone. And so, but I'm more of the mindset of there's only a certain number of people on that island and you've got to mend relationships, rebuild relationships. You want to stay around as long as possible. You just can't burn every bridge because if you do, or if you're trying so hard to get somebody out just because they lied to you one time, you're going to end up being the one that becomes the target.
Yeah.
And also, it's situational. It depends on the situation sometimes, too.
I mean, we see it happen a lot on Survivor, especially on Big Brother also, because it's such a long season on the Big Brother. You don't follow the Big Brother, do you?
I don't.
Okay. Well, it's such a long season that happens a lot. And you tend to see people, you know, they betray a person and then they earn their trust back and then they just betray them again. And I really think that you you can work with them, but you could never trust that person again, because I think that they have shown you who they are. So I think I would subscribe to that, but I don't think you can make it sort of your mandate that, okay, well, this person lied to me, now I have to get them out. But I think you have to, know, even if you're going to like, okay, let me work with this person for a little bit, that that is something that they are very capable and willing to do to you.
Yeah. As an example, Aurora and I, we were very, very close on our season. We would fight and then be very close. It was a very odd dynamic, but we still very close. So I didn't tell her we were voting out Joe because she was too close to Joe. So we vote out Joe. She was so hurt. Even when I tried to console her, she still never let it go. Later on in the season, she even gives me her extra vote because she trusted me that much. But still, those feelings were still down deep. She eventually voted me out. And part of the reason was why she never got over the fact I voted out Joe. She never really let that go. So keep that in mind if any of you listen or ever on the show before. If you if you lie to somebody one time, they're never going to give you 100% trust. And if they tell you they're with you 100%, they probably never really aren't. So once you break trust once, it's hard to remend it back to the state that it was before.
Ron, Mike Edwards wants to know, of your essential 55 rules, which one best fits for Survivor? Did you find after you played that one of the essential 55 really applies to Survivor?
I think, yeah, it's a generic one, but it's carpe diem. It's just go for it and just live for the day. And that's what I try to do on Survivor. And, sometimes I lied and I was manipulating and I was doing all kinds of things. But in my head, I was just saying, Ron, you got this opportunity. My goodness, you've wanted it forever. Don't waste it. Go for it. Do whatever you have to do. So a lot of things I was doing, I was just doing it because I was just trying to live in the moment. I didn't want to disappoint viewers who would be saying to me, why didn't you try this? Why didn't you try that? And so I think just go for it. And in every moment, in everything that you do, relish the experience, hunt for the crabs, get the coconuts, use the flint, make the fire, build the relationships, go push yourself to your limits in the immunity challenge, try to make alliances, just go for it.
So, Ron, as the master of the lesson plan, could you come up with the way that Rob and Sandra could teach Carpe Diem?
That's a really good question.
What's the quiz they could do to test you on Carpe Diem?
I would probably tell them that I'd probably do something like in the next immunity challenge, there's going to be an opportunity for somebody to do something. Somebody has to volunteer for your tribe to do something. We want to know if you're going to volunteer to do it or not. And it might be like a really elaborate puzzle. It might be you have to swim. It might be you have to be the one to dig the hole and go under it. And you know what? You may not be successful at it, and it may cause your tribe to lose because you may not be successful at what this special thing is. But we want to see if you're willing to go for it. If you're willing to raise your hand and say, I want to do it. And that would prove to us that you're willing to. And if you raise your hand that you're willing to go for it, you're going to get this idol. But it may cause your tribe to lose and y'all may go to tribal council, but you'll have this idol. Are you willing to live for it? Are you willing to dream big? Are you willing to take this moment at hand and make it happen and go for it? That's kind of what I would do.
Yeah, that'd be great. I like that. Ron, do you think that there should be a test of getting the Survivor contestants to learn the names of all of the Survivor winners, and to help them prepare, Rob and Sandra could do a rap of all of the Survivor winners?
Yes, I could write the rap. That'd be so fun. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, that's a very clever one.
I thought of it now. Yeah, of course, that Ron Clark, the author of the famous President's Rap.
Yes. Now let's get down to some presidential learning. We'll start with George Washington straight from Mount Vernon. There you go.
Yeah. Ron, I want to get your take on Nora, who we haven't talked about. What would it be like for you to live with Nora? Do you think that you would be able to appreciate Nora for the entertainment value, or would she get on your nerves?
She'd get on my nerves. It's like this. In real life, I'm sure Nora is great.
Of course.
A wonderful person. On Survivor, it's a different type. It makes you different. And imagine, like, when you don't eat for 5 days, people who are listening, If you didn't eat for 5 days, your personality changes. You would become, you know, different, louder, maybe angry. You would have a quicker tongue. And so I think maybe she's experiencing some of that. But yeah, I think it would drive me crazy, especially when Jason was like, stop dancing. And she's like, but I can't stop dancing. And he was like, no, you got to stop dancing. People see you dancing. You're not supposed to be happy, but I can't stop dancing. Somebody like that would drive me crazy.
So Tara Renee has a question for you. What does Ron think of Jason's no dancing rule? I don't think that would fly on Comma.
Oh, I could get Jason to dance. I'm sure, because I had them all dancing on Comma. And that's so, listen, when we were doing those dances, I didn't think that would ever be something that's going to be shown on TV. I'm like, show strategy, show this. And we're just being goofy and silly. And there they go. And that's on TV. And I'm grinding on Aubrey. I'm like, I cannot believe they're showing this on TV. But yeah, I think Jason, we had created such a kumbaya Comma. It was so happy in the games and the music. And we were doing all kinds of Olympics. It was fun. I think he would have been swept up in it.
Okay.
If he didn't go off an idol during the middle of it.
So John Simons wants to know, are you liking Nora's dance moves better than Jason was? So as our resident dance expert and judge, what do you make of Nora's dance moves?
Her centipede snake was actually okay.
Is that what it's called?
Well, that's what I'm calling it. It's like a centipede snake roll. I would give it an 8 out of 10. And so you say 8.
Wow, you're a generous grader, Ron.
No, it's good. Go back and watch it. It was a good snake. She's got some rhythm. I like the role.
Okay. Going back to Tommy, Kristen Liner-Call wants to know, has Ron reached out to Tommy? And what former survivor did Ron most want to meet? And now Tommy told Josh Wiggler pregame that he was very excited. It was his dream to have dinner with you. Have you ended up making contact with Tommy?
Yeah, actually, I've talked to Tommy. So I reached out to him, sent him a message, told him I was pulling for him. And so he wrote me back. And so we've been chatting. And I've invited him to come to my school, because every week we have about 600 educators from around the country that come to Atlanta. They sit in my classroom. They go throughout the school. They meet all the teachers and they watch us teach. Then they take our methods back to their schools. And so I invited him to come down. So hopefully he'll be coming down before too long. But it seems like a great guy. And then prior to going on Survivor, it's kind of funny, because actually in my pre-interview, they said, which previous Survivor players would you like to meet or would you like to be on a tribe with? And I said, Joe. I said, because I'm thinking he's physically, we'd win all the challenges. Joe's a great guy. It would be great to be around him, his energy. And then I said, Aubrey, because I said, I think Aubrey and I would mentally, I think we would have we're kind of quirky in the same way. I think we would have interacted well and we'd get along. And so those were the two that I said, and that may be one of the reasons why they ended up picking me to be on the show, because they were thinking, oh my goodness, this guy wants to hang out with these two people. These are the two people who are going to be there. Why don't we put Ron in the mix? And so that could have been one of the reasons why I was selected. But those were my picks.
Yeah.
Came
in practice. Were those good picks?
Well, I didn't win, so if I could go back, I would pick different people. I keep picking until I won. But oh yeah, it worked, because we the only challenge we lost was for the chickens, and we won all of our immunity challenges. So that worked out there. And then Aubrey, we hit it off. Aubrey and I were friends. We got along. It was great. It just ended up, she was on the opposite side of the numbers, because the swell in the group was, this should be anti-returner sentiment. So I just went with that.
What about Joe? I feel like that he's somebody, and he's been on Survivor now 3 times, but I still feel like he's a little bit of a mysterious figure in terms of how Survivor players or how Survivor viewers really get to know him. I feel like that he sort of keeps everybody a little bit at arm's length.
Not from my personal.
Well, as an outsider, as somebody who's, I'm sure, as somebody who's gotten to know him, spent a lot of time with him.
So, what exactly are you asking?
I'm asking, what's Joe really like?
Joe is an incredible guy. Joe is like, he's so incredible, and I think sometimes he comes across like somebody said to me the other day, They mentioned that he was trying to look like Johnny Depp or the Captain Sparrow. And he's just really not like that. He just has beautiful hair. He's just a beautiful man. Like, he's really a nice guy, a great guy. I voted him out. I lied to his face. I blindsided him. As soon as I get to Ponderosa, hey, buddy, I get to Edgewick Station. You all right, buddy? Come on, buddy. Just a nice, good guy. Like, he always texts me, hope you're doing okay. Hope everything's all right. He just, like, he treats people well. He's just, like, he wants to be one with the universe and everyone to get along and just love and peace. He's a super guy, super guy. And he comes across sometimes, I think, in people's eyes like he's arrogant. He's really not arrogant. He does not mean to be arrogant. Now, mm-hmm. He does say some things that come across as arrogant, but he's like, he's innocently arrogant. Like, he doesn't mean it that way.
Innocently arrogant. Okay. I like that. All right. Let me ask you this question from Danielle D. Okay, this is some strategy talk. Ron, do you think the men of the Lero tribe suspect that the women have an alliance? And if so, wouldn't it have been in their best interest to get Vince to play his idol? That way they could have gotten a girl out of the game and Vince still could have been the target for the following week. What do you make of that? Is that a good idea? Yeah.
I think as soon as they voted out Ronnie, I think that Aaron, Tom, and Dean were like, uh-oh, we didn't see that coming. So as soon as that happened, I think they realized there may be something up here. But I haven't seen them have a conversation about it, but I think perhaps they probably have talked about it. It didn't show up very much. There was one time where Aaron, Tom, and Dean were talking to Vince when they're telling Vince, you know, come on, you need to work with us because look at the ladies down there. They're so tight. You need to work with us. But they didn't know that Vince had an idol. And so I don't know how they would have, and he wasn't going to tell them he had one. So I don't know how that conversation could have started. But however way they played it last night, it worked for them mm-hmm. because they went home and one of them didn't.
Yeah. Well, there was some talk when he was going to the Island of the Idols that he was going to have potentially come back with an idol. That's what caused Dean to say, hey, we should try to flush the idol and split the vote. So they could have, I guess, potentially tried to, give at least a hint that maybe it was going to be him. But then you don't know exactly, you know, what else could unravel if the other side, the women, end up seeing the group of men as being people that are not really on the level with them.
Right, right. Exactly. And then poor Dean everybody, hey, why don't we split the vote?
Yeah. How big of a deal was that, Ron? Do you think that Dean he's going to pay for that?
No, it's not big at all. Nobody even cares because it was Karishma. So basically, if she hadn't have been there, what he was telling everybody, hey, let's split the vote, Karishma and Vince, which is what they ended up doing. So the only person in that group that he would have upset is Karishma, but it's not going to have any effect at all on anything.
Okay. Let's go back to when Vince went to go to the other tribe. And as Vince was lurking around in the bushes, that somebody was having a bad dream. And I think it was your friend Tommy.
Really?
That's what I think we still need to get confirmation on this, but I have a question for you. This is from Michaela on Twitter. When a fourth grade teacher cries out in his sleep, what is he dreaming of?
It was Tommy?
I can't say that I'm 100% sure, but that's one of the guesses right now.
Huh. Okay. I thought it was Nora, but because I tried to freeze it to try to figure it out. But okay. But yeah, what would they be freaking out about? Mm-hmm. 1,000 things, crazy parents or people that are irrational, or this is a dream I used to have. I don't have anymore, but I would be like in the copy room or somewhere. And then I'd realize, oh my gosh, I forgot I got my class. And I'd run to my class and my students would be in there without an adult. So just all different types of things. I don't know, man, this job's hard. Yeah.
Did anybody in your Survivor playing experience get night terrors when they were out on Survivor?
No, Joe talked in his sleep really bad one night. But, and I remember trying to figure out what he was saying. But I think that's the only instance I remember of somebody doing something like that.
When I played on Survivor, we had to take medication for malaria. Is that something that Survivor players still have to do?
We had to do lots of stuff, man. I don't think we had to take medicine for malaria.
That might have just been an Amazon thing to take medication for the malaria. But that there was like there were like two different kinds, but one of them would give you like very vivid dreams, and that was a thing that people could have. You could have a extreme like bad dream from the malaria medication.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're really trying to make the show great.
That's right. Okay. Let me ask you this question from Jack wants to know, if you were to come back as a mentor, like Boston Rob and Sandra, who would you want as your partner? Would it be Eric?
Okay. Maybe that's a different type of question. Yeah. So, Eric and I think are very similar. And so maybe I would try to pull somebody in who would have a different type.
Who would compliment you?
I don't know. Probably a female, like, that whole, maybe like a Parvati or, someone like that. I'm not sure. I'd have to think about it.
Okay.
Maybe Parvati.
Here's a question for you, from, Drew Bertoldi. Why do you think that Layra was so paranoid about Vince getting an idol potentially when he came back from the Island of the Idols, but they didn't seem that worried about Elizabeth? Yeah, nobody really seemed that concerned when Elizabeth came back, when everybody, she said that she was popular, everybody was trying to talk to her. Vince goes to the Island of the Idols and then he gets voted out.
Because I think she is popular. I think people liked Elizabeth. I thought when she came back, she was very convincing when she said, I had to bust the things. I didn't get the idol. Da, 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 da. She seemed convincing and she just played it off really, really well. I think then they're probably thinking, oh, well, if she smashed it and she didn't get it, odds are the next smash, you know, probability, he's probably gotten one. So, da, da, da. And also, I thought there had been some slight, during episode one, people wanted to vote Vince out. I think his name was being thrown around, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So his name was kind of on the chopping block where Elizabeth hadn't been.
Okay. This is a question from Andrea Christie Trantham. What would have been useful for you to learn from Rob and Sandra?
Gosh, I'd have loved the fire making challenge because trying to use flint to make fire. I mean, your fingers get all bloody and mess. It's hard. It's not easy to do. So I would have loved that lesson. And I don't know. I think that would probably been the one that would have been the best for me.
Did you practice a lot before you went out there?
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. It's hard. I mean, it looks so easy on TV. Like everything on TV looks so easy.
Yeah.
Use the flint. Here's fire. Not that easy when you're really doing it. Well, it's easy if you're Rob, but I'm not Rob and I don't have Rob's hands. And like everything looks so much easier on TV. It's not finding the idol. Like Chelsea, she's like, oh, I'm getting some firewood. Oh, there's an idol. I'll pick this out of this tree. That's not how it happens. It's like this island is massive. It's like it would take you 20 minutes to walk from one end of this island to the other. It's like huge. And all these thousands of trees, and it's so much harder to find one. So like Survivor, the producers are not going to show you an hour long look for an idol. They're just going to show you the one moment you find it. But please make no bones about it. It takes hours and hours and hours to find an idol, and then usually you never find one.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this from George Wise, who wants to know, how would you go about breaking into an all-women's alliance like the one that's controlling Layro? Do you see anything that these guys could be doing?
Hanging out with them, for one, when they're in the water and they're down there swimming, or when they're talking, or they're going on their walks on the beach, you just insert yourself. You become one of the tribe and you laugh at their jokes and you're concerned and you're a good listener. And you just try to use your relationship skills to infiltrate that group, because they may not pull you into their group, but you want them to think, oh, Ron will be the last one that we vote out. We like Ron, so we'll leave Ron. We can vote the other ones out. Let's leave Ron. You want to stay as long as possible until hopefully there's a merge and something flips up, and then you can get with a larger alliance.
Ron, what do you make of Rob and Sandra watching these tribal councils? Are you enjoying that?
Yeah, I love it. I love watching Rob and Sandra. Anything with them, they're great TV, great people, great. It's just great entertainment. So yeah, I'm enjoying watching them in their little hut. It's a lot of fun.
Have you met either Rob or Sandra?
I haven't. I'd be a little starstruck, actually, but I haven't met either one of them.
You would be able to hold it together, though, more than Vince, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't cry, but I would be like, sometimes.
You say that for when you meet Oprah, right?
Yeah, you cry when it's Oprah, but I would be dramatic and over the top, but I wouldn't cry.
Okay. Jordan Kalish, our own Jordan Kalish, wants to know, what type of teacher, grade, and subject would be best suited to play Survivor? Do you think that there is a specific grade that really prepares you for playing Survivor?
Teaching a grade? Oh, man. I think if you are an eighth grade teacher, eighth graders are a mess. They need attention. They're dramatic. Their emotions go high, go low. You got to learn how to be a counselor. Sometimes you got to be kind of like a friend. Sometimes you got to be like dad. Sometimes you got to be stern. And so I think working with eighth graders, I think it really helps to prepare you to deal with humans of all ages. And whenever they have a certain emotion, you're not surprised by it because you've already experienced it with your kids.
Yeah, I think that it's a fun question to think about because, you know, that in these middle school grades, you have people are really clicky. And that happens a lot on Survivor.
Yes, it's very true. And one thing I've learned about cliques is that sometimes kids will come to me and they're crying, oh, my goodness, they don't want to be my friend anymore. I'm like, oh, just wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow you'll be their best friend. And it always works out that way. And so it's these cliques are always like fluid. They're flowing. And so it's just a matter of not reacting too strongly when you're not in the clique, just kind of inserting yourself close by and then slowly working your way back into it.
I got a question from Derek on Facebook who said, where did Survivor find all these hot teachers? First Ron and now Tommy.
Okay. I'm not a hot teacher. Did you see me take my shirt off? But yeah, I don't know. I appreciate that. But, don't see myself as a hot teacher.
Okay. Andrew wants to ask you, Vince was frustrated that Karishma wouldn't say a name. What's the best strategy regarding throwing out people's names? Because over on the other tribe that we saw this situation where Dan threw out a name and Jamal said, no, how about Dan? And then Jamal threw out a name and then Tommy was saying, no, I think it should be Jamal. So it does seem as though when you are the person who is throwing out people's names, it can boomerang and hit you back.
Well, if you ask Sandra, she would tell you, you never say someone's name.
Yes.
You always let the other people say someone's name. And so I remembered her saying that when I went on the show and I took that as advice. But here's the deal. When you have somebody you trust or when you have a really strong bond with somebody, then it's okay to throw names out. I think Karishma, she didn't want to say anything because she was so paranoid at that moment. She didn't trust anybody. She was freaking out. I mean, and so he's saying, I want a name. And she was just so scattered in the moment. She didn't want to say one because she didn't trust him. But like Eric and I, Julie and I, we were always throwing out names and throwing things back and forth because I felt like I was in a safe space because I knew that we were working together and we were solid. So it just depends on who you're talking to.
Okay, Ron, I have an Edge of Extinction question for you from Kieran. Was there anything that Gavin or Julie could have said in their final tribal council that would have swayed the jury vote in their favor? Or was Chris the clear-cut winner from the moment he made it to the final three?
If I went just off of who I liked and who I cared about and felt love for, I would have voted for Julie because, I mean, Julie, that's my girl. But at the same time, I wanted my vote to count. And I had been on Edge of Extinction with the whole jury. Nobody was going to vote for Julie. They saw it as a two-man race. It was whoever comes back from Edge of Extinction, which was Chris or Gavin. And so I realized if I voted for her, it would be a loyalty vote, but it wouldn't have had an effect. And I wanted my vote to have an impact. And so Gavin, he actually had a moment where he could have gotten my vote. And I think he could have gotten a lot of other people's votes as well. It's just my opinion. But when we were quizzing him, and you don't see the whole final tribal council on TV, you saw parts of it, but I kept trying to get him to own what he did. I was like, you know, you lied to me and I took you on the loved one visit. You came up to me and said, Ron, I promise you we're together. And then I kept trying to say, why would you do that? And he was like, oh, well, when the girls came to me, they said that they wanted to vote you out. So I just kind of went with it. But if he had, it made it look like he was just doing what people told him. But if he had said, "Ron, you know, I was just trying to make you calm and to feel, make you feel safe because I knew we needed to get you out. You're too big of a threat." And so if he had just owned the things that he did, instead of trying to say, "Other people told me this was the plan. Other people wanted to do this." And so I just kind of got, he was trying to blame other people instead of saying, "No, I made the choice to do this because I knew it was smart for me. I care about you, Ron. You're a great guy. I hope we can be friends after this. But I needed to pull the wool over your eyes to get you out of the game. That was the only way to get you out." If he had said things like that, I'd have voted for him easy, but he didn't.
So that's a really good point in terms of how people need to approach the final tribal council. And just to bring it back to this season, now we have Rob and Sandra here, two people who, between the two of them, have won the game three times. Do you think that we'll end up seeing, like, as we get closer to the end of the game, whether it's, you know, the final three or the final four, should they visit the edge of, the Island of the Idols and then get that kind of advice of, "Hey, make sure that you own your game. You got to make sure that when you, basically the same types of things that you're saying about why Gavin didn't get your vote, should Rob and Sandra tell that to these types of players, or do they need to learn that on their own?"
They're going to tell them. They're going to have Rob and Sandra on TV as much as possible this season. And so they're definitely going to have them go to them to get advice before the final tribal council. And I think that's a really good idea because I think they'll give great advice for how to articulate their game well so that other people will see all that they did.
Okay. This is a question for you. This is from Holly McKelvey, wants to know, is Ron dressing up his dogs for Halloween? Of course, everybody knows that Hamilton and Westbrook, those are Ron's chows. They're on Instagram. You can go check them out. Will you be dressing up Hamilton and Westbrook for Halloween?
Okay, it depends on who you ask. If you ask Lloyd, no, but I always try to dress them up, and I love my puppies. And so this year I told Lloyd they're going to go as Ewoks. And, he's dead set against it, but I found why is he dead set against it? He thinks it's silly. He's like, they already look like little bears. They're already Ewoks. What's the point of dressing? Nobody. Why would you do this? And he just sees it as useless energy. But I don't know. I want to do it. And so they will probably be Ewoks this year.
Yeah. Do you think that Sandra will have costumes for her Pomeranians this year?
I don't know. probably she loves her dogs just as much as I do. So maybe.
Yeah. I'm not a big costumes on dogs guy, but I feel like that I would like to see Hamilton and Westbrook as Ewoks.
Oh, awesome. So see there, that solves it. It has to happen.
Yeah. Are you a big Star Wars guy, Ron?
I am. I'm a big geek, a big Star Wars geek. So, it'll be perfect. Perfect costumes.
Perfect timing. Okay.
Return of the Jedi is my favorite film of all time. So it's great.
Yeah. It's really fun over here because my kids are very into Star Wars and they're playing with all these like Lego sets and Star Wars toys that are like the same kinds of things that I played with when I was a kid. So it's very weird.
Oh, nice.
So, Ron, Felipe Shimon wants to know, why did you all name the Merge Tribe after the Spanish word for toilet?
So, when we merged and I had this idea at my school, we have four houses like they do in Harry Potter. And so we have Issa Bindi. I said, why don't we name it Issa Bindi? And I was trying to get them to do that. But actually, whenever you're coming up with a tribe name, production, actually, when they hear you talking about it, they will actually go without, knowing what's going on. They'll go look it up to make sure the name means what you say it means, because I guess they don't want to have something inappropriate like that happen. Mm-hmm. And so I had no idea that it meant toilet, but I'm surprised they didn't tell us because they didn't really check on it for us. But yeah,
that's Vata. That's toilet.
I guess it is. I had no idea that it meant toilet, but
I didn't know.
I think it was Lauren. I think it was her idea. And they went and looked it up, and whatever she said it meant, I thought she said it meant like power or something. They came back and said that was accurate. But
maybe it's slang.
Production really doesn't get involved very much with things, but just once in a while, something like that may happen. But other than that, nobody speaks. They're just over there with cameras and they're not interacting at all. I don't want people to think that's happening often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a good thing that they do just to check and make sure you're not, you know, getting something out there that's some sort of it's something that's really inappropriate, that's going to make them look bad on TV if that word ends up getting out. All right. Ron, I have one more question for you. It's from Lainey. Lainey wants to know, or she says, I want to see Ron and Lloyd on The Amazing Race. So would you do it, Ron Clark?
Okay, Lloyd would do it in a heartbeat. So Lloyd would be down to do Amazing Race. He'd go tomorrow. I don't know if I would or not. I'd have to, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm afraid of heights. I'll do heights, but I don't really like heights. But I don't know. And I would be afraid if I got somewhere and they wanted me to jump out of an airplane over Mount Everest or something, and I'd be afraid I wouldn't want to do it. And then I'd feel like, man, I took a spot of somebody who a team who really would have done it. So I'd have to do some soul searching. But if they ever ask for blood versus water for Survivor, then that's something that I would be down for.
Okay. In terms of The Amazing Race, have you traveled a lot, Ron?
Yeah, I've been everywhere. Our school is really cool. We take our students, by the time they're in eighth grade, we've been everywhere. So we go to China, Japan, we go to Australia, South Africa, England, Greece. We show our kids the world. We try to build global citizens. I have kids here of all different types of income levels, but most of our kids come from low income situations, about 75%. And so we get donors to sponsor these trips where we get to take them around the world. And yeah, it's powerful to see how it changes kids. I have a question for you.
Oh, yes.
What is up with Elaine trying to dunk women in the water? What is going on?
Maybe she's baptizing them.
She's baptizing them? Like, listen, I've never in my life seen anyone enjoy being dunked in the water, but she just kept dunking people one after another, and they were like laughing like it was no big deal. I mean, if you get a chance to interview any of them once they get off, ask them, what did you think about being dunked in the water by Elaine? Were you enjoying that because she kept doing it repeatedly, or what was going on? Because I'm curious.
Yeah. So you think that nobody was enjoying being dunked in the water by Elaine, but they just had to pretend because it's Survivor?
Exactly. And I'm very curious to see what they would say about it.
Yeah, there was a secret scene last week where Elaine and Missy were having like a WWE wrestling match.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So Elaine likes to throw her tribe mates around.
Wow. She's simply a great person.
Yeah, she's been a lot of fun. I'm surprised how invisible she's been over these last 2 weeks after she had such a big first episode.
But it tells us a lot. It tells us that she'll come back. She's going to last a while just kind of editing guesses. I think it means that she's going to stay around quite a bit.
Okay. Ron, do you have a winner pick for the season?
Yeah. My winner pick is Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Okay. Yeah. She was not somebody that I thought particularly highly of coming into the season. I thought that she seemed like somebody that did not know the show, and I don't know what her background is with Survivor, but I thought that maybe she was somebody that was recruited to be on the show. And no, she's been better than I thought she was going to do.
Yeah, I just have just watching the way people interact with her, talk with her. They don't see her as a threat. She's got a good little alliance going on. I don't know. I'm probably wrong, but you know, that's my pick for right now. There's one concern I have with her, and that is that she's been to the Island of the Idols. And once everyone finds out what was going on at the Island of the Idols, it can make people who didn't go a little bit salty because the people who came back didn't let them know what was going on or didn't give them any type of a heads up, or they feel like, oh, you went there and got some type of advantage and I didn't. That could end up causing some backlash when it all comes out in the open. But other than that, I think she's in a pretty good shape.
Do you think that she'll be insulated if it is in fact that they can't say exactly what went on over there? Where could she get away with, but I wasn't allowed to say anything?
Yeah, I think they'll forgive her because they've obviously told them you can't tell this when you go back. You have to lie. And so I think if she just plays it off like, y'all, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God, I felt horrible. They said I couldn't. Duh, 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 please forgive me. I think if she plays it off like that, I think they'll forgive her pretty quickly.
Okay. Ron, thank you again for making some time to talk to me about all of this stuff. Is there anything else from Survivor or outside of Survivor that you want to anything you want to talk about?
No, I just want to say I really appreciate you doing this, and I love the show so much. And you're a gift, and your show's a blessing to everybody who wants to learn more, hear more, go deeper with it. So just thanks, Rob. And I just feel really blessed and honored to be on the show. So thank you a lot.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you saying that, especially coming from you, Ron. You could follow Ron on Twitter. He is at Mr. Ron Clark _. You can see more about the Ron Clark Academy at ronclarkacademy.com. Ron, that the Essential 55 Rules is out. And what is this, in paperback and hardcover?
Yeah, you can get it in hardback or paperback. You can just go to Amazon. If you actually, when you buy it from our school, we're a nonprofit school, so 100% of all the money our school raises goes to scholarships for kids. So if you purchase the book or any of our merchandise or anything at our site, ronclarkacademy.com, 100% of it goes to support children. So we'd appreciate that.
Okay, Ron, thank you again for making all this time and talking with us about all this stuff, and all the best, okay?
Of course. Thanks a lot.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Ron Clark on the podcast. Ron was really fun to talk to. And again, great job by Ron going through all of this stuff here with me. All right. So next up on the podcast, we are going to have our feedback show with Lyrsa. Make sure you get your feedback questions in. Friday night recording with Lyrsa. So get those questions in. Going to end up doing our patron Facebook Friday then over the weekend. I am going to also be doing something new where I did it last week on Friday. I did a FanCred Friday. FanCred is an app where you can talk with people directly. They do it for a lot of different sports and football related stuff. But if you get on the FanCred app, I'm going to be live on Friday morning at, or Friday morning my time, Friday afternoon Eastern time, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the YouTube channel or on Twitter. I'll tweet out the link as well. You can talk to me live on the FanCred app, give you a little sense of what it's like when I do all these patron shows and talk to people face to face, live on camera. And then we'll have the Wiggle Room coming up on Monday. Looking forward to getting into all of the Wiggle Room Wandoff submissions. And then I'll play this week in Survivor History versus the great Will from America. Plus, we got a brand new Renap coming up your way as well. Your problems are trash all this weekend, plus the stuff on the Rehap Ups with the B&B and Why Blank Lost. Of course, the engine that drives all things Rob's a Podcast is the support of our Rob Has a Podcast patrons. We've had a lot of new patrons come on board. Greatly appreciate that. Going to see a lot of our patrons in New York City this week, where we are going to have our live show. Of course, the patron community. We have four different patron Facebook groups, not to mention our own patron podcast feed. If you're interested in seeing more about what goes on behind the scenes of Rob Has a Podcast, how to get even more connected to the shows that we love, check out robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you guys so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.